It's lovely to be here. These Good Friday services are a wonderful thrill. It's a great reminder of the wider church and the common hope that we have. So great to be with you here this morning. And the Tuckwell family, my family, we are having a gathering of our own this summer. My mum is turning 60. You're all now trying to work out how old I am. She was young when she had me. But she's turning 60, so family gathering. We're going on holiday together, a bit of a party. It's a drawing of everyone together. And although it's a little way off, we started thinking about the present. It's very easy to leave it to the last minute and you just end up with a sort of obligatory bunch of flowers, which says I didn't really think very much about this at all, but knew I should get you something. And we wanted to show we had thought about it, so we thought we'd better think about it. You can tell me how well you think we've done afterwards, but here's what we've got her. Don't tell her if you happen to come across a Mary Tuckwell. We've got her this. It's an 18,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. It's of an African watering hole. My mum, she loves Africa. She was brought up in Kenya, and she loves jigsaws, thankfully. It seemed like a really good idea when we saw it on the internet. It wasn't until it arrived that we realised quite what we've done. The box weighs 9 kilos. The puzzle, when it's done, is nearly 3 metres by 2 metres, it tells me. And it's 18,000 pieces. I mean, it's going to keep her going until her 70th birthday, which is just brilliant. Think about it. Can you picture the scene, the moment when you tip all the puzzle pieces out of the box and you've got this mountain, 18,000 pieces on the table in front of you? And where do you start? You could spend all day just looking for the four corner pieces. I did a quick bit of maths. If you know you're meant to turn them all over so they're facing the right way up. If you just turn them all over 1 second apiece, that's going to take you 5 hours just to get... And then all you've got is a whole load of puzzle pieces facing the right way up. And we're kind of left wondering if this is a great present or if it's some sort of terrible punishment. If anyone's interested in buying an 18,000-piece puzzle off me, find me afterwards. I'm sure there's a deal that can be done. Here's what I want us to think about this morning. Imagine it's yours. Imagine this 18,000-piece puzzle is yours. And you've been working on it for years. You've boarded the loft, specially. Every free evening, you disappear up there just to put a few more pieces into place. And then finally, the day comes. You're left with just one piece. And there's great satisfaction, isn't it, as you lean across and you push that last piece of the puzzle into place. And you sit back. And you survey your hard work. And you say to yourself, it's finished. It's finished. Years and years leading up to this one great moment. And it's finished. No more work to do. Just sit back and enjoy it. It's finished. Maybe you're not a puzzler. Maybe puzzles don't work for you. But you've probably seen the house building programs on TV. And it's a bit like the couple who have spent years and years planning and building their own home, their dream home. And they've had battles with planning officers. They've spent many an hour chivying the builders along, stopping them drinking endless cups of tea. Seemingly a new crisis every week. But then finally that moment comes. They move into their new home, everything complete. And as they slink down into their new sofa, glass of wine in hand, and they say, it's finished. And there's rest. Nothing left to do. Just rest. Well, God in his kindness has given us 4 wonderfully rich gospel accounts of the death of his son. We need them. We need to stop and remember because we quickly forget just how big this moment was. And there's lots of different responses to gazing on the cross of Christ. I don't know what your response was as you heard those readings read. Maybe you felt anguish, guilt, sorrow, Or perhaps there was joy and thankfulness. Lots of different responses, but this morning, I want us to see rest. As we look at these few verses in John's account together, I want us to understand the sense of completion that we've been given. I think that's what John wants us to get in these words. It's that moment when the last piece of the puzzle is pushed into place, and all that's left to do is to sit back and marvel. Rest. We need it. We need rest. We live in a world which craves rest. I don't think it's just Cambridge which is crazy busy. Everyone seems to be rushing somewhere, feeling pressured and stressed. Anxiety levels at record highs. We're a restless world searching for rest. So over £1 billion a year is spent in the UK alone on yoga. It's booming business. And why? Because it promises rest. Gyms fill up with business executives who are trying to unwind, looking for rest, luxury holidays, health spas. If you want to make money, you need to find a product that offers rest. Because we want rest. We're a restless world in search of rest. And so as we look at John's account of Jesus' death 2,000 years ago, I want us to see the promise of rest in these verses, and in particular in that famous cry from the cross, "It is finished." It is finished. It's just one word in the gospel account, tetelestai. It's a glorious word, tetelestai. If there's one Greek word worth knowing, it is this word, tetelestai. And it leaves you wanting to ask, what is finished? What is it that has been accomplished in this moment and is quite so significant? Well, if you've got a Bible in front of you, have a look down again at verse 28. This is how John starts his account of Jesus' death. And he says, verse 28, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." Jump again down to verse 36, towards the end of the verses that we had read. Verse 36, we read, "These things happened so that the Scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken." And another scripture says, "They will look on the one they have pierced." Can you see what's going on? John is shoving our faces in it. Fulfillment. Completion. The last piece of the puzzle of human salvation is pressed into place. And suddenly you can see the whole salvation picture clearly. Easy to forget what a privilege we have living this side of the cross. We get to see the completed picture of human salvation. Moses, Abraham and Sarah, King David, God-fearing men and women in the Old Testament. But they don't have the full picture. They didn't have rest. They just had snippets. And they were waiting. They were waiting for King David's greater son, one who would rule over God's people faithfully and eternally. They were waiting for the one who would perfectly obey God's law, not abolishing it, but fulfilling it. They were waiting for the one about whom the prophets testified, the promised Messiah, the Christ. Old Testament life, it's 18,000 jigsaw pieces poured out across the table. Lots of little pieces. Hard to see the bigger picture. And no rest. Because they weren't there yet. And it's been a very long time since the first promise was made in the Garden of Eden. As Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. That promise which came of one who would crush the serpent's head. Piece of the puzzle number one. That's the first corner piece. And we're off and running. But it's been a long, long time for all those puzzle pieces to be assembled. And so you get John's excitement as he records these ways, as he says, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. The last piece of the puzzle, as Jesus cries, it is finished. It is finished. God's plan of redemption, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together to bring about human salvation. And it is finished. It's done. It's all done. Tetelestai. It is finished. Scripture fulfilled. But it's more than that. Because if this moment was just a moment where all the threads of Scripture came together in one neat and tiny finale, that is a hugely significant moment. But I'm not sure that would bring us together on a Friday morning 2,000 years later to remember. There's more to this. And John wants us to see that there is more. So have a look down, verse 29. Where we read, a jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. Why hyssop? John's very careful in the words that he uses. He doesn't waste words. So why does he tell us it is the stalk of a hyssop plant? Well, he tells us more, verse 31. He says, now it was the day of preparation. Day of preparation for what? It's Passover. Day of preparation for Passover. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because it's a Passover Sabbath. This is when they remember God's rescue of them from Egypt. So suddenly hyssop makes more sense, because hyssop was the plant the Israelites used in Egypt, that fearful night. John's trying to show us something. And in case we're missing it, he gives us another pointer, verse 36. He says, these things happened so that the Scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And you want to say, where does that Scripture come from? And I was heading to the Psalms, and yes, Psalm 34, it's there. But actually, it's pointing back further. It's the command that was given to the Israelites on that Passover night. The command given about the Passover lamb. They were told, do not break any of its bones. Do you see what John's giving us? He's given us hyssop. He's given us the day of preparation. He's given us no broken bones. And as you read this account, you realize the whole account is whispering Passover. 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 John's taking us back to that fearful night when God's judgment was coming on Egypt. All the Israelites knew the firstborn son in every family was going to die. God's judgment was coming. And the Israelites were told, take a lamb, take a perfect lamb, no blemishes, no defects. And sacrifice it. Don't break the bones, but sacrifice it. And take a stalk of hyssop, dip it in the lamb's blood, and sprinkle that blood, smear it all round your doorposts. And then eat the lamb and the other food and wait. I'm not sure I'd have had much of an appetite. I'm a firstborn son. Judgment was coming on the land. Fearful night. But you know what happens as the angel of death saw the blood on the Israelite doorposts. He passed over. Passed over the Israelite houses, and judgment fell on the Egyptians. The lamb's blood put there by the hyssop, it spared the Israelites. That's what John is showing us here as he whispers Passover to us. The lamb's blood, the blood of the lamb, sparing God's people from his judgment. So then when you hear Jesus' cry from the cross, tetelestai, it is finished. The price has been paid. You get it. The Father's wrath, his righteous judgment, satisfied. In fact, if you were to have a bill back in the Greco and Roman world of the first century, maybe you owed the baker for a week's worth of baking. And you go into the baker's shop to settle up the bill. You pay it in full. As you hand over the money and hand over the bill to the baker, what happens to your bill? Tetelestai. Gets written across the bill. Paid in full. The price has been paid in full. It is finished. Scripture fulfilled. God's wrath satisfied. Tetelestai. In fact, it's not just it is finished. I'm not sure how well this works in the English language, but the word has got the sense of it has been finished. It's something which has happened in the past, but it has a benefit or relevance for our lives today. A past event with present effect. Tetelestai, that the last piece of the puzzle being pushed into place, completed. Finished on our behalf. And it's ours to enjoy. It's ours to rest in. But I think we find this hard. I do. We want to play our part. So if you walk up to someone who's, they're just finishing off a jigsaw puzzle, what is your overwhelming desire in that moment? Maybe it's just me, but I want to pick up a piece and I want to put it in place. I want to play my part in finishing that puzzle. Probably quite annoying. But when the puzzle is finished and when it's admired, I want to feel like I played my part in completing what is being admired. In fact, I've even been known to nick a piece of the puzzle until, say, you sort of wait until right at the last moment and there's one bit missing and everyone dives under the table, scrabble around and look for it. You know how it goes. And you just slip it in place. Finish it off. I want to be the one who does the work in finishing it. But what have we got here? We have Jesus who is crying, tetelestai, it is finished. It's not my work, it is his work. I didn't put a single piece of the puzzle in place, and neither did you. But we're told to enjoy its consequences. There's a film, Saving Private Ryan. Some of you may have seen it. A little while ago, I think it was, Steven Spielberg made it. And right at the end of the film, there's a very striking scene. You've got Tom Hanks, who is Captain John Miller. And he, with seven other men, are on a mission in the midst of the Second World War. And their mission is simply to save Private Ryan's life. Private Ryan has three older brothers, and each of those older brothers have been killed in the battle that month. And so Miller's orders are to find Private Ryan, to get him out, and to bring him home safely. All eight men on that rescue mission die. But ultimately their mission is successful. Private Ryan is rescued. And you've got a striking scene right at the end of the film. Captain Miller, badly wounded, he's taking his last breaths. And as he speaks to the rescued Private Ryan, he whispers these words. He says, James, earn it. Earn this. And as the film ends, it cuts to 50 years later. And Private Ryan is now an old man. And he's kneeling at the tomb of Captain Miller. And weeping, Ryan says, every day I think of what you said to me on the bridge. And I've tried to live my life as best I could. I hope I've earned what you did for me. It becomes quite clear that James Ryan has carried round his captain's words with him his whole lifetime. And they've been a crippling burden to this man. At the end of the film, you've got Ryan turning to his wife and he's pleading, tell me I've lived a good life. Tell me I've been a good man. That's not a man who's found rest. That is a man burdened with guilt. And it's very easy to live the Christian life that way. We want to make sure that God is pleased with us. But we can't see God. We can't see his delight in us as his children. So instead, we work hard to make other Christians pleased with us. If they're pleased with me, then God must be pleased with me. And it starts to hugely matter to us how we're perceived by others. And rest is a long, long way off. That's the world of Private Ryan. That's the world of trying to do the puzzle yourself, trying to earn the pleasure of its completion. But our Saviour's last words were not, earn this. His cry was, tetelestai. It is finished. Nothing more to do. I've done it. I've done it all. Every last piece. Every law perfectly obeyed for you. Every punishment taken for you. It's finished. It's all done. So rest and enjoy it. Have a listen to the way the author of Hebrews puts it. Speaking of Old Testament life, he says in Hebrews 10, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. That's Old Testament life. Can you imagine the frustration? Sacrifice after sacrifice, and yet there is still sin. Sin everywhere, breaking down the relationship between man and God. Old Testament life is like putting in one piece of the puzzle and two more coming out. And no matter how hard you tried, you could never finish that puzzle. You couldn't do it yourself. Listen to how Hebrews continues. But when this priest, Jesus Christ, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Do you hear it? It's wonderful. It is finished. As his head was bowed, as he gave up his spirit willingly, he gave it up to finish his work, fulfilling scripture, completing salvation, satisfying God's wrath, removing guilt from those who place their faith in him. And then he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Isn't that a wonderful picture? He sat down at the right hand of the Father and he rested. And he invites us to rest with him. No sacrifice to make, no sins to atone for. It's all done. And so we're left with two ways to live our lives, trying to do the puzzle ourselves, huge mountain of puzzle pieces, no idea where to start. Or we can live our lives enjoying a puzzle which has been finished on our behalf, resting in Christ's work done for us. In an interview with the Sunday Telegraph, the late poet and author, Kingsley Amis, he said these words, telling words. He says, I carry my sins around with me. There's nobody to forgive them. That's tragic, isn't it? I carry my sins around with me. There's nobody there to forgive them. Kingsley Amis needed to get this. Actually, I still need to get this. I need every area of my life to be permeated with this truth. Tetelestai, it is finished. Not looking backwards at past failures, caught in a web of guilt. Not trying to live each day desperately trying to earn favor with God or with others by proxy. You know, just three words, which I need to carry around with me. Three words which put the good in Good Friday. It is finished. My Saviour. My perfect Passover lamb. And where is he now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. They're glorious truths. It is finished. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. And so we praise you for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We praise you for his finished work of salvation. And we pray, Lord God, that we remember him this Easter. And as we do, that you would cause our hearts to rest in him and in him alone. In his name we pray. Amen.